Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Bad Therapy.
Welcome back to the therapist couch.
Boy, howdy.
Boy. You know that Beyonce riff? I fucking nailed that one.
Said ye. It's teeny time, bitch.
It's teeny time. Actually, only for uno personas.
I'm on a teeny time, little teeny time cleanse. You know when you've just been drinking so much and you're on trips. I was traveling. I was in San Diego. I was somewhere else. I'm going to be somewhere else next weekend.
Oh, you sound so cool.
And I'm just like, and you're so busy traveling and drinking with your posh friends.
Literally.
Clinking your...
Can you put that down, please?
She's like, you know, you can hear the ice in the mic, right? I'm like, shit.
She didn't believe me. And like, I'm like, I edit these.
So, you know, when you've been drinking and you just feel like you're going to fucking die, like you genuinely cannot go on.
Well, maybe the audience doesn't drink like us, because when you go and drink, you drink like, I mean, maybe our audience has attracted the right people. I don't know.
I think they're here for a reason.
Yeah, like, that's true.
You know, when you go on a 3-day bender and you don't eat or have a sip of water and
Madison said,
sizzle in the sun like an iguana for 3 days.
She said, I was on the beach, no food, no water, the middle of the Sahara Desert.
I literally, there like came one moment in my trip where I'd like been out for like 3 days and I looked up at the sun and I'm like,
I was like, why did you not?
And I like looked at my friend and she's like, we must prevail. Like,
I just imagine you like in Egypt, like walking through the
literally
desert
with like a fucking wet rag on my head. Like,
yeah,
no, we were like green tea shots. Like, should we do that? It was fun. It's always fun. But like, I'm getting a little old for this behavior now. And like, it sticks with you. You used to be able to wake up and pop out of bed the next morning.
So I reached this point in my life before you.
Before me.
Because I started getting hangovers. Like, fun fact for everyone listening. We started drinking. There's nothing to do in our small little town, okay? I won't give you an exact age, but it was early. So by the time I was 21, my body was like, bitch, enough. Enough is enough.
21. That's when most people start drinking.
It was like, enough is enough. Okay. And I would get the worst hangover. To the point where it wasn't fun anymore. And Madison just, I think this year, maybe last year.
Yeah, when I turned hangovers. Like 24 is when my hangover started getting back to the point where I was like, maybe I should not drink.
Yeah.
Because like I used to get them, but like I'd push through it.
Yeah, I've gotten kind of used to them. But yeah, I'm pretty much down and out the next day. But I'm just so busy now that if I am hungover, like
there you have
is
to no push through
downing
it.
Outing.
Well, like you would get sick. You would be throwing up. You would be like in the bed, like shaking.
I would try to keep up with you. I always tell people, I have to like tell people, because people always want to drink champagne mimosas. Everyone wants to go out for mimosas. I'm like, y'all,
I'd rather die.
No, I can't physically drink a mimosa. And then I have to like explain why. And it's because when me and Madison lived in San Diego, we would go to Bottomless Mimosas at this brunch place, and it would end at like 2 p.m. We'd get there at 1, and we had to catch up for lost time.
We didn't
have
enough time. We had to bang it out.
So we would kill, between the two of us, like 3-4 bottles of champagne just chugging.
In an hour. Allie went home after that.
Oh, I would call the Uber immediately afterwards, sit there, not remember my ride home, and then throw up in the trash can in my room.
And like be sick until the next day.
Yeah.
And I would like go out after that.
No, you wouldn't come home. I would see you the next morning.
I'd be like, hey, Allie.
I couldn't believe it. I would wake up, you know, when you like get, you day drink and you fall asleep and you wake up and it's nighttime. You're like, what fucking day is
it? Where
the
fuck am I?
And then I go out into the house and no one's home. Like, you're still out. I was like, she's ridiculous.
I was just like a bigger person. Like, I'm 5'10. Like, I have a decent amount of muscle mass. Like, yeah. I could just drink alcohol. And I don't get sick when I drink alcohol. Like, I don't vomit. Rarely.
You do now, though.
Now I'm getting to the point where my body's like, okay, bitch, you don't need 10 martinis.
It's so weird how that just changed one day for you.
I mean, honestly, it was because I started drinking less.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't drink every weekend. You know, you kind of grow up.
That's a very valid point.
Yeah.
Actually.
Like, you develop a tolerance. Like, it's literally borderline alcoholism.
Yeah.
When you can drink to a level where you can drink that much and you don't get sick, probably take a step back,
maybe like reassess. Well, that's good. I'm glad that it makes you sick now.
Yeah, it's, well, like, that's things... I felt like when I was in San Diego this weekend, I felt like I was transported back into like 21 year old Madison, and I was like, what am I doing in PB right now?
You
like,
have to tell the story about the guy you put in a chokehold.
So it's PB. I don't know if you guys know PB.
Pacific Beach, San
it's basically
Diego.
Like the college rat town of San Diego. It's where all the college kids
college
go.
Rat
the college rat town. It's where all the college kids go to get absolutely bamboozled, out of their mind, daytime, nighttime. Mm-hmm. It's one of those places where it's like the airport at 9 a.m. and someone's eating a lobster roll and the other person has a martini. Like, there's no rules.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty fun.
There's no fucking rules. Yeah. It is fun. I'm too old for that shit now.
To visit,
yeah. So I'm in PB. It's super crowded. I'm at this rooftop bar. Everybody's drinking. I've been drinking all day. I'm like over it at that point. Mm-hmm. You get to a point where you're like, your stamina is
it's
gone.
It's just the same shit.
Totally. Yeah. This like young guy came up to me that I have never talked to or seen before in my life and like grabbed my waist to like turn me around and like pull me towards his group. And I'm like, first off, I have a fucking boyfriend. Don't touch me. Second off, even if I didn't have a boyfriend, don't touch me.
Right.
So I spin him around, put him in a chokehold and I'm gripping him. I'm not like, it's not just like a so funny, ridiculous. Goofy chokehold. It's like a don't fucking touch yeah. me chokehold. His friends get up on the bench. They're all screaming and chanting. He's like tears rolling down his face because I'm choking him out so hard.
Oh my God.
And he loved it. They all loved it. And I'm like, okay. It's time for me
like
to
that
go.
Was not the goal.
It's my cue. I thought that was you assaulted me. That was me telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that was me assaulting you.
Oh no, they loved it. And yeah. so I'm like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
You're like, where am I?
So then
dystopian.
I just like went to the next rooftop bar and it was a couple days of it. So yeah. I'm taking a hiatus. That was long story short.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm drinking a sparkling water. Allie is still enjoying
her. Oh, it's teeny time for me, bitch.
Allie's enjoying her martini.
It's teeny time for me. I was in Boston last week for like a really quick turnaround work trip. I went there on Wednesday and I got back on Friday night. And it's far. It's like a 6-hour travel here and then 6 hours back. So it was quick. It was a good trip, but I'm fucking exhausted. And yeah, it's Wednesday now that we're filming. And I don't know why I'm telling you the day it is.
And yesterday was Wednesday.
Tuesday. And then it was and then 3 days ago, it was Sunday.
Sunday.
And
this is what our podcast is now.
Thank you for tuning in.
No, but like, honestly, to your point, we can't hang anymore. You travel and like you're out of commission for a couple of days.
Oh, I had like one. I think I had two martinis one of the nights when I was in Boston. And I had worked the next day. I was fucking unwell for work. Like I had to turn my game face on. I was lacking sleep because the time change was fucking me up. And then just turning around and traveling back. Like I can't sleep on planes. It's just the whole thing. So I've just been recouping, and the fact that it takes me until Wednesday
3 days
to finally feel back to normal.
Me too.
Crazy.
I mean, this is the first
I didn't even go out and party. Like I didn't even go on a bender or anything. I literally had two martinis.
And that's the thing, is like, as much as I like drinking alcohol and I think it's fun being drunk, we're getting to the point where it's not worth the hangover. Like the risk to reward is not worth it. And I'm sure that the other girlies can relate to, like, you go out with your friends and you're like, this shit is just not what it used to be.
Yeah,
I can only imagine when we're 30. That kind of makes me sad. Like, we're not going to want to do any of it.
Back in like the heat of my party days and my degen days, I used to wonder when, because I would look at people in their 30s that they would just outgrew this lifestyle.
When you're going to stop.
Like I was like, is it going to happen naturally? Am I going to have to make the decision to stop? And like, luckily, I think it kind of happened naturally. I'm not as like turned off to it as you, but I also don't do it that often, you know, like I don't go out very much. Neither do you.
I feel like that's what happens though. Like slowly but surely, every time you do it, it becomes a little bit less appealing.
Yeah.
Till you get to the point where you're almost like, even if I have FOMO, I think I'll actually skip out on this one.
Yeah, like I have no problem, which I love this about myself nowadays. I don't get FOMO. Like I'm cool on a Friday night staying in by myself because I'm not in a relationship, like
doing absolutely nothing,
ordering pizza and watching a movie. That is honestly the best night ever, to be real.
Well, and that's the funny thing about being back down there and like kind of back around some of the people I used to hang out with, is they're in their 30s now, 32, 35. They're doing the same exact shit.
Yeah.
Like I had a moment where I like looked around. It was like the old restaurant I used to work in and all the old servers, like all the people I used to work with still. And they're there. It's 1 a.m. They're all still fucking drinking. And I'm just like,
it's fun, but it's not a very fulfilling life.
I can't imagine doing that. They do that every night still.
Yeah.
Like we used to. It's industry. You work.
Because you get caught up in your like little bubble and you don't realize that there's more to life and that it's actually not that normal.
No, when you're in that vibe in that industry, especially in San Diego, which is very like party central, party culture town, it doesn't seem out of pocket. But like getting out of it and then coming back in it,
yeah, it's like dystopian.
I became possessed by 21-year-old Madison. Like I'm not gonna lie, I did the damn thing.
You flashed back.
But now I'm having regrets. I came home, I had like a sinus infection, I had to go to like urgent care. Mm-hmm. My clients are all like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm sorry, Susie, I didn't didn't call Susie. You for 3 days. Like, and I mean, on this topic, I feel like there's a huge movement, especially in our generation, around like a sober, curious lifestyle. Like you see more and more people, younger people who you wouldn't expect, like sober or semi-sober. And I've like always kind of considered that and wondered what it would like to be sober. But there's such a huge part of me that was such a huge part of my life. I can't even imagine what it would like to be sober. But like, I kind of want to know, because you see all these people that are posting like the best thing they ever did. It's the best thing that ever happened to them. And especially with the trauma that has come in my life from alcoholism, I've come from a long line of alcoholism. Like, I wonder, is that actually the move?
So I will say that I do love how I feel when I'm not drinking. But then there's also the aspect of life where I feel like it's fun sometimes. And I feel like as long as you're in control of it, I think the only time anyone would need to be fully sober is A, if they really just wanted to do that and they didn't want to drink, they didn't want to feel like the hangover, or if someone had like an actual problem where they couldn't just like casually drink,
where they couldn't stop. Yeah.
Which I think like you and I definitely like go hard.
We walk the line for at sure. Times,
but we also can control ourselves. It's not like we're drinking every day or like,
no.
When we do drink, it's not like we're always like taking it too far. We've gotten better. As we've gotten older, we've gotten more control. And some nights it's just like, I just want to let loose and like have a good night. I think the where we're different in this situation, and it could definitely be just like our experience with like alcohol and like trauma and whatever like surrounds that topic. And I don't want to speak for anyone else because I know that it's, you know, can be a huge problem and like addiction is a big thing. I personally will probably always enjoy that aspect of life,
like a casual,
yeah. And I just don't beat myself up about it because it's just not the end of the world. Like, if as long as I'm getting my stuff done and I'm working, if I make the decision to go out, then yeah, I'm gonna struggle with, you know, being hungover for a couple days, but it really doesn't like affect me as much as I feel like it affects you.
Yeah, it's not like you're doing it every weekend or anything.
No, but I feel like even when we go out together, I feel like you struggle with it more.
Oh, I beat myself up. I beat the shit out of myself.
You get super down on yourself, and then for like a week you're just like, I could just tell you just struggle with it. And I don't know why, but I think like for you, if you wanted to be sober, then I think that I, you know, obviously would support that.
But like, I don't want to be sober. Anytime I think about not being able to go like have a couple drinks or go to a concert and like let loose and like actually be sober, I'm like, that would suck.
Yeah,
I don't want that. But I also don't know why I do beat myself up so much. Yeah. Like if I overdrink or if I stay out too late, like I'm super hard on myself about it, which I feel like you made a good point. When it becomes a problem is when you start neglecting things in your life. You stop going to work. You stop, you know, being a good partner. You stop feeding your fucking dogs. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You're letting it kind of take over your life. Or when you become a functioning alcoholic where you're drinking every day and you can't
still get your shit done.
You can't get through a day without drinking, which we're neither of those things.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Like, I should probably think about why it bothers me so much when I do that, because it's not like I'm like doing anything wrong.
You're not, but for some reason, and I will say it, part of it probably is like when you do drink and go out and like let loose sleep and like that sense, it does affect the chemicals in your brain.
Yeah, so it's a like lot anxiety.
Of it is, a lot of it is, yeah, exactly, anxiety. A lot of it's probably more so just the reality that you're living in your head.
In that moment. Because I get over it in a couple days.
Yeah.
And like yesterday I was like, I'm never drinking again. Today I'm like,
yeah,
maybe.
And I will say, like, if you're feeling that like fight within yourself every time you drink, then maybe it would be good to just go sober for a little while. And I'm not trying to say like don't be sober or like you need to drink to like have fun, like not at all. I don't think that. I actually enjoy being sober sometimes, and sometimes I want to have a drink. I just think for me, like the way that I've found peace with it, it's kind of just like your relationship with food in a sense. Like the more you fight it and the more you beat yourself up for things, the more issue you have with it.
The bigger it becomes.
So like for me, something that I've found that's helped me, because I used to bartend and drink all the time, and like I definitely had that type of thinking, but I was also doing it every day.
Constantly,
so I don't know
yeah.
why like necessarily you feel that way, but now that I'm in this different phase of my life, if I have a drink, maybe 2-3 drinks on a night of the podcast and I'm hungover the next day at work, like yeah, it sucks to feel that way, but I'm not like gonna beat myself
it's not
up
the end of the world
for it.
Yeah,
because it's not hurting anything.
No, absolutely. And honestly, I think going through prep was a big part of my mindset change with that, because I was sober that whole time.
Yeah,
and I was so driven and yeah. so motivated and so like just fucking killing it at that point in my life, and like not having alcohol in my life at that point, it almost kind of like my brain correlated, you can go do this if you're not drinking. And so sometimes when I drink and I like feel like, oh, I can't go to the fucking gym, or I'm not doing that well at work, like I make it about the alcohol.
Yeah. And honestly, like I think being sober is like a great thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't want,
some people need to be sober.
I don't want this to get like misconstrued for anyone. I'm not saying, you know, no one needs alcohol, you know. I just think for me personally, like I love to unwind with like a glass of wine or like a martini at the end of the day, and I will never not do that. That's just something about me that I don't see ever leaving my life. As far as partying, it's been a really long time since I've been into going out or like the party scene. And I guess like we live two different lives, because like you you always have these experiences when you go travel somewhere and you drink for like a couple days, and like that makes sense because that's usually how you feel when you come back from those type of trips.
And like you don't do that anymore.
I don't ever. I know the only time I drink is like when we're at the podcast or like occasionally on a Friday night when we go out or something.
Well, and I think that's the difference is like for you it doesn't bother you because you don't worry about being an alcoholic, whereas like I have walked the line.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna say earlier, and that's what I was like,
she just didn't want to call me an alcoholic.
No, I wasn't saying that. I was like, that was what I was kind of insinuating when I said we have different experiences and traumas based around the drug of alcohol. I worry more about like other things because I have like a very addictive personality, but alcohol for me has never been something that I feel addicted to.
Yeah, absolutely. And like for me, it's the opposite. Like I could hit a vape stick. I could hit a vape 100 times and never be addicted to nicotine or drugs. I've never been interested in like pills or like all of that stuff I could do without. But like alcohol has been my vice for sure. So,
and I think that's so hard too because alcohol is so
accessible. It's everywhere.
I definitely love like pain pills, and I only know that because I've taken them for surgeries and shit. And even taking them for like 2 weeks for like, let's say, wisdom tooth surgery, I crave it afterwards, but I don't have access to it.
So you can't just go to this fucking grocery store.
I mean, I could probably find it from some like weirdo on the street, but I'm not going to do all that.
I'm not
going
to take it that far.
But like, if I could go to the grocery store and just buy it off the shelf. Fuck, I would probably
You'd probably end up addicted to like heroin or harder shit.
Absolutely. So that's where like I know, you know, everyone struggles with their own demon in that sense of the word. I support you being sober. I just think that you've come so far with it since like you were 21, 22.
Oh yeah, I completely changed my life around it.
I genuinely don't think that you have a problem with it, you know?
And I think that's where the guilt comes from, is like knowing who I was and who I never want to be again. Mm-hmm. And like when I retract back to that person, I'm like, oh, so I could still be like that. And there's always a part of me that wonders, like, am I going to be a 35-year-old alcoholic? Am I going to be like my family? And like, I would just, that thought scares me so much because I've seen my whole family suffer from people not being able to quit drinking, which I know that's not me, but like, of course it sits there and it just kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that that's really fair. I just think you're just not them, you know? And I think on top of that, something that happens when you experience traumas through your parents or through people in your family or people around you, you actively become the opposite of them.
Yeah, because you're like, I'm never going to be like that.
And it's not, yeah, obviously you could if you let yourself, but I think just the way that you have created this life for yourself and steered away from being like that.
Created a boundary with it. Yeah.
Proof that you never will be.
I totally agree. And for all my sober, curious girlies, because I know there's a lot of them out there, it doesn't hurt to just try it. Go 30 days.
Like, you're not going to be less fun. You're still you without alcohol.
It's not that important. And I think once you get over that hump of realizing you don't need it, you don't have to do it, you can still go to social things without it, then it can become just like a casual thing instead of being such a huge thing.
Right. And like on the other spectrum of things, if you're like Madison, who maybe has struggled with these thoughts of like, oh, I don't want to abuse this, I don't want to be an alcoholic type of things, maybe be sober, read the room, judge the situation based on your situation, but also don't beat yourself up for having a drink or two here or there. Like, you're not hurting anyone. You're not hurting yourself. You're okay. I think I wish every time I have anxiety, I wish that there was someone just like sitting next to me telling me it's okay.
Yeah.
No one's mad at you. You didn't do anything that embarrassing. Like, well, no one's thinking about you today. Like,
you're right. It's fine. Those like anxiety hormones that
it's
really,
the chemicals in your head.
Yeah.
In
well,
your
like
brain.
I don't black out anymore. That's where a lot of my anxiety came from, is not even knowing what I fucking did. Mm-hmm. Like, that is spooky.
Yeah.
That is a spooky thought when you wake up in the morning.
To black out.
You like wake up and you're like, like your soul comes back into your body. Yeah. I haven't done that in a long time. So
I don't know. For me, I'm like, if I black out, I'm like, well, better that I don't know. Probably.
Glad I don't know her anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the topic of chemicals affecting our brain and how we feel, I found out something recently that I think is super interesting. So when you're on your period, the most prominent hormone in your body is testosterone. So like when we're acting crazy, we're actually just acting like a man.
Well, and that makes so much sense because I feel like men are a lot more emotional than they let on, but they're a lot better at like hiding their emotions.
For sure. Well, I think too with men, the thing about their emotions is they are really good at being angry because they don't know how to process being sad or like any other emotion. It just all manifests as anger. And it's funny because like when you're on your period, you feel such heightened emotions.
Such big emotions.
That you just get like angry, you know? But I'm not going to say that that's the reason, because I think with men, it has a lot to do with like them not having like maybe the emotional maturity sometimes to process their emotions and understand their sadness. Because like if you talk to a man that does have like high emotions, emotional intelligence. He's able to express and verbalize, communicate how he's feeling and why
instead
he's feeling
it. Instead of just getting angry.
Instead of just lashing out. I guess in a weird way, it gives me a little bit more sympathy for men if that's what testosterone feels like.
Well, and honestly, I feel like men aren't given the safe space to feel their emotions sometimes. Like if a girl's pissy and she's like, I'm on her period, everyone's like, oh,
yeah,
makes sense. Like, okay, like here's your free pass.
Right.
Like if a man is like lashing out and like having a very high testosterone day,
right,
but doesn't have the safe space to feel his emotions or to like handle his emotions or to feel sadness or any of the other things he's feeling, he's like a psycho or has an anger management problem.
That's a very good point. That actually makes me really sad for them.
Yeah.
And I think like too, that's why I've always, whenever I come in contact with like a male figure that I feel like is a sweet person at heart, but is very angry, everyone's like, they're an asshole, they're a piece of shit, this, this, and that. But I always, for some reason, have a soft spot for them because I see through the emotional, like, anger wall.
Male vibrato. Yeah,
yeah, that they put up. Because I feel like not only do they also have hormones that are at play that make them act a certain way and affect how they feel and how they react to things, but they also weren't really given the right tools growing up. How women are, we're taught to talk about our feelings and
it's okay to cry.
Woman to woman, like, we're there for each other in that way. We're very emotionally available to each other when you're going through something, but men are not like that. Funny story on top of this, for example, like when you're talking to your man or a man and they're like, oh, did you hear so-and-so and so-and-so broke up? And you're like, oh my God, no, what
Give
happened?
Give me the tea. What happened?
They're like, oh, that's all they said. You hung out with them for 4 hours and that's all you got?
I'm not kidding. Like the fact that this is a universal issue, like I will have a conversation with my boyfriend and be like, so then what? And he's like, what do you mean?
That's all he said.
I'm like, what? That's the wrote. Conversation that you guys had? Like, did you ask him if he was okay? How's he feeling?
Yeah.
How's his family?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys, like.
So that's exactly my point. Like, they're not given that emotional space to be emotional. They're just kind of expected to be a man.
Just handle it. Yeah.
And just handle it.
Just internalize it.
Yeah. And that projects. And then women, it's so funny how things like go full circle because then we get mad at them because they can't handle their own emotions. And at some point, right, you have to take accountability and recognize that these are the qualms that you're given in life. Just like women, we have certain things that are unfair to us and we have to fight through them and work through them, and not all women do. And you know, you can play the victim in a situation, or you can, like, for example, for women, we have to fight for equal rights, essentially. Maybe not as much anymore, but still like a little bit in some scenarios. And if you're just going to be the type of woman that just sits and bitches about it, then you're not going to get anywhere and you're just going to be annoying to everyone. But like
why is she so emotional? Why is she so crazy? Why then, can't she handle her?
But some women are like, let's just go fix the problem, let's just go work a little harder, let's just go be the change that we need in this world. And I feel like there are some men out there that recognize that that's an issue on their end, where they're not given the emotional space to be emotional. Instead of projecting that anger and just continuing to be a problem, they fix it within themselves and they become a safe space for other men. Like, I'm not, like, when we talk about these things, we're not saying all men.
No, it's not. Obviously, it's not one size fits all. But I also think that's a really beautiful thing in like a relationship where, you know, obviously women are going to be a little bit more open to communication and emotional. And I think it's so cool when a guy, especially a guy who is naturally a lot more pent up or not comfortable talking about emotions, finds a woman who becomes his safe place and he's able to like express his emotions with her. And like, she almost is kind of teaching him. It's like, mm-hmm. She's leading the blind to like finally learn how it feels. And you kind of just see like a man open up and blossom in a relationship like that.
Yeah. And then he carries that with him in life.
That's absolutely crazy that testosterone is the highest release chemical when you're on your period, because you think it'd be estrogen or progesterone.
For sure. I thought it would be estrogen because that's the woman hormone. Yeah, that's the one,
the
that
crazy
makes us crazy
one.
No, yeah. It's testosterone, but it makes sense because when you have a lot of testosterone, like people on steroids and shit, and they're like angry,
very emotional,
and like volatile.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes sense.
I dated a guy on steroids. I'm like, are you on your fucking period all the time?
Okay, so
unable to emotionally regulate, like genuinely.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're on your period as a woman, like you actually feel like you cannot emotionally regulate. Yeah. And people are like, obviously it's not a free pass to be a fucking bitch, mm-hmm. but like sometimes you don't feel like yourself.
I mean, we have a lot of women listeners, so like, you can relate to this, but if there are any men listening that don't understand what it feels like to be on your period, it's literally like you are not in control of your emotions. Like, your emotions aren't even yours, but you're feeling all of them. It's so bizarre. It's like you're almost watching these emotions play out in a fit of rage or tears or whatever it may be in the moment, but you don't know why. You know it's ridiculous. You can't control it. You're trying to regulate. You're trying to cope. You just can't. And then that is so overwhelming and frustrating. And I'm not gonna, you feel like shit anyways.
I'm not gonna lie, Allie's possessed when she's on her period. Fucking zest. She'll be like, I'll be like, what's wrong with you? Like, she's like, I'm PMSing. And I'm like, I will talk to you next week, my girl. Like, she becomes like genuinely a different person sometimes. I'm like, she just doesn't want to be around anyone, doesn't want to do anything. And I don't get it that intensely, but I've known other women who have.
Well, okay, to defend myself, y'all are fucking annoying. No, I'm just kidding. No, but for me, that's why I feel so strongly about it, because like I try, you have no idea how hard I try, because I'm not just gonna sit here and be like, you have to let me be a cunt to you.
Yeah, you don't get a free pass.
But sometimes like I literally feel like I'm going to explode, and I know it's crazy. I know it's ridiculous, because it's not just like the anger and like the bitchiness that comes with it, because I'm not trying to be a bitch. I'm just so like irritated and like irritable that I can't like everything like just sets me off.
Yeah.
And I can't control it. But on the other end of things, it's like internally I'm also feeling like that, like about myself, you know, which like it's hard to explain, but like just there's just like 2 days, a 2-3 day span where
you're not well.
I'm just miserable.
And then on top of that, debilitating cramps. So you're like on the ground, can't move.
I can't even talk about my cramps because they're so bad sometimes that I actually feel like I'm going to pass out.
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, there's people that can't get up, can't go to work, can't go to school. I've never had that.
When I started my new job, I remember it was like day 3. And I was sitting at my desk, dude, I'm wincing facing the wall in the corner, like hoping no one's looking at me. Cause like I didn't know anyone. I had no one to like confide in about how bad my shit was, let alone like, it was my 3rd day. I can't tell my boss, like I need to go home.
Yeah. Like you just got there.
I was on the verge of tears at one point. And I know like even going home, I wouldn't have felt any better, but at least I would have had to lay down. I wouldn't have had to work. I wouldn't have had to pretend.
Put a strong face on.
I'm
yeah.
okay.
And it's honestly terrible. This is just like the reality for women.
Yeah.
I talk about this with my partner all the time. He's like, there's going to be 1 week out of the month where you just don't feel like yourself. You don't have energy. And every time it comes along, I'm like, what's wrong with me? Why is it always like this? Think the world is ending. But he's like, baby, you're just on your period.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. And I can't imagine women who also get debilitating cramps on top of it. Like that's so fucking rude.
The rudest part of it all is it happens every fucking month.
Like clockwork.
Like clockwork. Like right when you're getting over the trauma from the last month, oh, we're back.
Well, and like for me, I gaslight myself because I don't bleed. I have the IUD, so I don't actually bleed.
But I gaslight myself too, and I do
and
bleed.
You're literally bleeding. Yeah. I still get sore breasts, and I still get like headaches and like sore breasts. I just say sore breasts on the podcast. The guys listening are like, what the fuck? Sorry, but like,
what are you, an 80-year-old?
We're supposed to say my titties hurt. Like, I still get the symptoms, but I don't actually bleed. So I'm like, is this happening or am I just a bitch?
So can we talk about the gaslighting that goes down before you start your period as a woman? You will be gaining weight, eating everything in sight, feeling sad, crying over a man that you haven't talked to in 8 years.
That you've never met.
And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Knowing damn well you're supposed to start your period.
What day
in 2 days,
it is. Yeah.
But you haven't started yet. So you're like, I'm just a fat, lazy, stupid, loser, sad, angry piece of shit. And then all of a sudden you start your period and you're like,
okay.
Makes
sense. I'll give myself some grace. But it's every month.
It's every month.
I swear to God, we have the same conversation every month.
You would think that at some point you would be like, oh, and like deep down you're like, it's my period. But no, it's not.
It's hard to justify it too, because it's like, why do I feel all of this just because of that? Like, it shouldn't make me feel, I should be able to have more control over the way I feel.
Fucking crazy.
Can we also talk about the fact on this topic that there's like different weeks of the month where you feel differently about your partner?
Oh, I was gonna bring this up earlier, but
the luteal phase.
So me and my coworkers are sorry to expose everyone at my work. We're like synced up. Fun fact
about
women. You
usually get synced up with your women.
You sync up when you're around the women a lot. We're synced up, and me and one of my coworkers this week were like, why do we feel weird? I was like, I talked to her on Monday and she's like, yeah, my head hurts. I just feel like, I could tell she just wasn't in a great mood. I was like, what's wrong? She's like, nothing. She was explaining it to me. I was like, bruh, sounds like you're in your luteal phase. And we like had our periods at the same time. And I was like, oh my God, we must be in the week, which is so unfair because we get one good week out of the month.
One where you feel like amazing. And every time that that week comes and I'm like, baby, I feel so good. You're so sexy and you smell good. And like,
I think it's the week right after your period, right?
It is, yeah. Totally. And it's so funny to me because it's like, again, I'm gaslighting myself because there's one week where my partner is a god. He's always a god to me, but there's that one specific week where he just smells better, looks better. Like, I can't be away from him. I'm like, let's get married. Let's have babies. Let's do the damn thing. And the next week, obviously I still love him just as much, but like, he'll sneeze and I'll be like, shut up.
Do that somewhere else.
Like, why does it have to be so? And he's like, baby, what's going on? You feel like that in your relationship? Like, you're not crazy? Because I've talked to other women, obviously, where I'm like, you know, do you have different times in your cycle where you
absolutely, it's literally like scientifically proven
that you're gonna feel different.
Yeah, there are four phases to our period menstrual cycle, and each of them affects us differently, and there's three of them that basically make us feel like crap,
that basically suck,
and then there's one that's good. I forget what the one that's
ovulating good. I know ovulating is like when you're obviously more likely to want to be sexually intimate with your partner, or you're going to think your partner smells better and,
you know, it's so looks funny. Better. So I always had really irregular periods. And I remember when I started working with a coworker who was trying to get pregnant, she was like super tracking her ovulation and all this stuff. She showed me this app. And so I started tracking. Oh, and I got on hormone medication for my thyroid. And so I was able to like finally have a regular period cycle. And I started tracking my period for the first time in my life, dude. I'm sitting at work with her and I felt this weird feeling, not in my uterus, but like,
did your little egg drop?
In like the sides of my, like my ovaries is what it was.
Yeah.
But at the time I'm like, what the fuck is that feeling? So I look on my period tracking app because she's like, maybe you're ovulating. And I was like, what? And I did feel a little bit more glowy that day and like a little bit more horny that day. And like, I felt prettier. I felt like there was just something about that day, but I kept having these weird like cramps. Like they weren't cramps and it was only on one side at a time.
Totally.
And then I looked and it was so fucking on spot on because it literally said ovulation starts today.
Wow. That's pretty cool that it was that accurate.
It was so accurate. Also,
isn't that pretty fucking rude of your body that one week you look just more beautiful? Beautiful because it's trying to get you pregnant. It wants the men to think that you're more attractive. Sure. I'm like, can't I feel like that all the time?
No, I'm pretty sure I saw something one time where your face shape actually looks different. Like you actually look different at different phases of your period cycle.
They did a 360 camera on a woman for 30 days of her cycle. There's one point in her cycle where I'm like, who the fuck is that ogre? And there's one point in her cycle where I'm like, she's the most stunning woman I've ever seen.
I just think that's the craziest shit ever because it's so true. One day you wake up, you look in the mirror and you're like, who is this ugly bitch? Who are you? Am I an ugly bitch? Because goddamn, you look ugly.
Your makeup doesn't look
bitch.
Good. Your clothes don't feel good. And nothing changed that much. Hair,
but it's just something's off.
You're not snatched.
And then one day you're just like, God, I am.
That bitch.
Yeah, I'm been that bitch.
Yeah. And I've always been like this and I'll always be like this.
So
2 weeks later, you're like... Why am I ugly?
So to wrap up this rant, because
wasn't supposed to be, but shocker.
Yeah, shocker. Hormones are brutal and God bless.
You're not crazy. Well, maybe a little, but
yeah, no, I'm definitely crazy. So when I act crazy, like
it's the testosterone.
It's just the testosterone in me.
Rant,
I'm just a
rant gone
bitch.
Short. The testosterone makes you crazy.
I wonder if like, I don't have any siblings. I wonder if I had like a brother, if he would be just the most
macho, yeah. Machismo.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I bet your brother would be cool. Cute.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think
I'm glad you don't have a brother.
Me too.
Things would have gotten weird over the years.
So speaking of hormones and period cycles, the reason that going through a breakup is so painful is because you're actually going through a chemical withdrawal in your brain. When you fall in love, your body produces a hormone called oxytocin, and specifically in women, oxytocin is released with something as simple as hearing the sound of their voice, the way they smell, like such little intimate things that make us really fall in love with them and make it hard to really separate from them. Especially breaking up with someone can be very difficult, and sometimes you're like, why is this so difficult? Well, you're going through a withdrawal similar to that of like a drug withdrawal is what some doctors compare it to, which is why it's so hard yet so important to go no contact, because your body is going to be craving that oxytocin hit. It's going to want to hear from them. It's going to want to look at their face. It's going to want to stalk their Instagram. But like, I'm telling you, if you can block them, not talk to them, not look at them, not stalk them for 2 months, then you will come back from that 2 month period, moved on, or at least feeling a lot better. And the reason for that is because in women, it takes two hormone cycles to fully filter out old hormones. So if you have a bunch of leftover oxytocin from your previous relationship just floating around in your brain, you're going to be struggling struggling so bad because you want to talk to them, you want to reach out, you want to fulfill that desire, get that dopamine hit from talking to them, even if it ends badly. But if you really can give yourself 2 full months to heal, you will cleanse yourself of all the oxytocin in your system and literally come out on the other side healed.
And not feel like such a strong urge, like the same urge that you would feel like if you're coming down off nicotine or whatever drug it might be, to like get that hit and to get that refresh because you've cleansed your system of it. Yeah. Like that makes so much sense. And you can actually deal with it in like a healthy way at that point instead of feeling like so overwhelmed and crazy with your emotions. That honestly makes so much sense to hear it put like that, because going through withdrawal from something, the only thing you want is that thing.
Yeah.
Because it's leaching out of your system. Your body's like, you need more. You're going to die.
Yeah.
And like to put it in terms of how many chemicals have been being released during your relationship and then having to go cold turkey. I mean, like that's brutal, mm-hmm. but it's the only thing that's going to make it better.
Yeah. I actually found it so interesting, like how amazing the body is and how much we talk shit about like our hormone cycles and our periods and stuff, but how it is like almost like a cleansing factor. Because if you think about, sorry, all the guys listening, like what a period actually is you're just shedding the walls of your uterus and you're releasing old dead parts of you that don't belong
anymore. That don't need to be
and
there
anymore.
And you're
also going through a cycle of hormones, and at some point the old hormones have to leave your body so that new ones
can come in.
And so it just made so much sense to me to hear it put like that, because it's true. First of all, if you've ever done no contact successfully, and like it's really hard, but if you can get just to the 2 month mark, you will not want to reach out at that point.
Yeah.
Because your hormones are reset. It's just like a reset button. It's like if you could have a reset button on your relationship, on yourself, on how you feel. 2 month mark, no contact.
Suffer for 2 months in order to be done with it, or drag it out slowly but surely over a year, 2 years. You know, people drag that shit out until there's nothing left.
Yeah.
So your body stops producing oxytocin for this person. It's like, which one sounds worse? Obviously, in the moment, you're like, no contact at all.
Oh, it's
and,
so hard.
And your brain is like, do it. Like,
because you have days, and I am the worst at this, because I have days where I'm like, I don't want to talk to them. And then I have that one moment where I'm like, but what would be so bad if I reached out?
Yeah, or looked
like
at their
They must want to hear from me too. Like, it's not, you know, and then you reach out and then maybe they reply, which is honestly probably worse in that scenario, because then you're what, back looped into this weird fucking, you're back to square one where now it's gonna happen again and you have to restart
the
whole thing.
You have to start over. Yeah.
Or they don't reply and then your ego's shot. You feel like shit. You regret reaching out. You feel stupid. You're like, I shouldn't have done that. Listen, I've been there.
Well, that's kind of the thing about those yo-yo relationships. Like you see a lot of those people, like they break up, they get back together. They break up, they get back together. You never know if they're together or not, but they always kind of are. Ugh. And it's because they need to obviously fucking break up, mm-hmm. but they keep doing the reuptake cycle. Like they are not doing the no contact. So they never get to a point where they can be done until they just like hate each other.
Yeah.
And that's like the worst way to go with somebody.
Yeah. Cause you don't want it to be like that deep at the end. Like
no.
You want to walk away from someone that you loved, still feeling feelings of love for them.
And with some dignity,
capacity.
Like, yeah, like,
you yeah, dignity. Listen, I've never left a relationship with any of my fucking dignity.
Not a shred left
the
intact.
Dignity leaves with the men.
Yeah. And like I did a yo-yo relationship like that, and like it was terrible. Like, I remember feeling there'd be days like on the down cycle or the breakup cycle where like I couldn't move, I couldn't get out of bed until he would call. Then it just like recharges you and you feel like, oh my god, everything's okay again and we're gonna get back together. And like it's because your brain can't let go. But once I finally let go, oh my god, I didn't even like the guy.
But it's like I feel like even in those scenarios and those relationships, both people know that it needs to end and that you shouldn't get back together, but because the drug withdrawal, the chemical withdrawal, the hormonal withdrawal is so strong and so miserable to deal with. It's like, let's just prolong. Like, I want to compare this to something, but it's kind of a bad comparison. But it's kind of like when you're out on the town and you're doing naughty things and you're like, I could prolong my suffering or I could just go home now. But instead you're like, I don't want to go home because the second I go home, I'm going to feel like shit.
I'm going to be miserable.
Yeah. So let me just keep the night going. And then it just eventually you're going to feel like shit and you'll probably feel worse.
Way worse than you would have felt if you would have gone home. Literally
the first time.
Me in San Diego, I'm like, it's Friday. Friday night, it's 2 a.m. I'm like, should just go home and go to bed. Then we wake up in the morning with a hangover. Instead of just getting over it, like going to the sauna, running real quick and enjoying like the rest of my weekend, I'm like, let's go to brunch so that I don't have to feel like shit and drink mimosas. And like, and then you do. And that cycle, that was honestly a really good comparison.
Thank you.
Because then you get to the end of the weekend, you're like, wow, my life would have been so much better
had
if I would have just stopped while I was ahead.
Yeah, had I just listened the first time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We have to learn everything the hard fucking way.
Yeah. Well, I feel like at least you're not alone. You have me. I don't know if anyone else out there is.
Anyone have their girly where you're just like both getting the shit kicked out of you in life all the time?
Even earlier, Madison and I were like, I was like, my back hurts. She's like, my back hurts.
My back hurts. We're just linked up.
We're just literally on the same page.
So on the topic of relationships this evening, I saw something online recently that like I loved so much. And that's the black cat golden retriever theory. This is the only type of relationship that's ever going to work. And it's when the guy is the golden retriever and the girl is the black cat. Because everyone knows there's black cats and golden retrievers in relationships. And if the girl is the golden retriever and the guy's the black cat, it will never work. He'll play with her like a little toy. He'll walk all over her. Whereas girls, when the girl is the black cat, and like you can be both, like you're not one or the other.
Right.
When you're the black cat in a relationship as a girl and the guy's a golden retriever, like you respect that position of power. Like that's your buddy. That's your little bodyguard. For example, Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott. Kylie Jenner, golden retriever. Travis Scott, black cat. Walked all over her. Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet. Kylie Jenner, black cat. Timothy Chalamet, golden retriever. Locked the fuck in.
Okay.
Rihanna and Chris Brown. Rihanna, golden retriever. Chris Brown, black cat. ASAP Rocky, golden retriever looking ass.
Yes.
Rihanna, black fucking cat.
Okay.
Right?
Ooh, I thought of one. Okay, Kourtney Kardashian and Scott Disick. Yep. Scott Disick, black cat. Kourtney Kardashian, golden retriever.
Easily.
But Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker. Travis Barker, golden retriever.
Travis Barker. His name is literally Travis Barker. He's the golden retriever of the century.
And Kourtney Kardashian, black cat.
And her full black cat energy. Like you can notice the way like a woman shifts, yeah. Honestly.
I think honestly, to describe what I think it means when we say golden retriever and black cat energy, the woman is just like in her power.
In her feminine.
But like the man is allowing her to be that, like almost like pushing her to be in her power.
He's so masculine, she's comfortable in her femininity.
Absolutely.
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, black cat, Travis Kelce, golden retriever. Like the list goes on and fucking on.
100%. I'm down for this theory because honestly, I can think of my own personal relationships where when I'm the black cat, it's worked. When I'm the golden retriever, it is no bueno.
It's never going to work. Yeah. Like if you're in a relationship right now, girl, and you're the golden retriever.
Run.
Cut and run, my love.
Run.
And honestly, it's so much more fun to be the black cat.
Yeah, because you get to be your true self. You don't have to walk on eggshells. You don't have to cater to a man's every needs without them like catering back. Like I feel like the difference between a man and a woman being the black cat is when the woman is a black cat, we still take care of our person and care for them. Whereas when the guy is the black cat, I feel like the guy doesn't really care about the girl as much.
Well, that's kind of the difference between cats and dogs. Like a cat is a very independent, sassy little creature. And like a golden retriever is obviously like everybody's best friend.
Yes.
So it's like a girl, we can be independent without being like pushing our partner away or not being like a safe place for them or not being a comfortable place. Whereas like if a guy is a black cat, it's almost like they don't want you. They don't need you. You're a game to them.
And I think another way to put it too is like, I think when the girl is the golden retriever, it means that the guy doesn't like the girl that much.
Yeah. Like he doesn't.
And another thing that I think is true in relationships that kind of ties in with this theory is I think the only way for a relationship to work is if the guy likes the girl more
than the girl likes the guy.
Yep.
I've literally been saying that for years. Like yep. Your man has to love you more. Obviously not, we're not saying this in a crazy, like you love your partner very much, but your man has to love you more than you love him.
Yeah.
100%. If it's gonna work, because yeah. If you love him more than he loves you, he's gonna go find a girl that he loves more.
Yep. And it's super fucking twisted, but like we didn't make the rules.
I didn't fucking make the
rules. I just exist here. This is just my fucking experience on earth.
If he doesn't love you more, he's always going to be looking for someone that he could love more.
Exactly.
So, and that's not fair to you. Fuck that.
No, because again, that's the difference between a man and a woman in a relationship is women, we can appreciate what we have. Whereas I think a man is always kind of like, I don't know if it's a testosterone. I don't know what it is in a man. The lack of ability, the lack of emotional intelligence. I don't know. I'm not speaking for everyone, but I do feel like this is for some reason a phenomenon that happens in relationships.
And that's that on that. Be the fucking black cat.
Yep. Go find your golden retriever, bitch.
It's worth it, girly. Cheers to episode, what is
22? Did we even say what episode it was in the beginning?
I can't remember. That was a long time ago. Are you sure? I think I did.
Did you?
I don't know.
Cheers
to her for sure.
Fire down home.